Chapter 5, New York, 1894. It was the summer of 1894 in New York City, and at the intersection of East 57th and 3rd Avenue, stables were being made ready for 13 very special creatures. Just north, in Rutland, Vermont, the country was experiencing its first ever outbreak of poliomyelitis, a mysterious sickness that could sometimes cause paralysis in children and animals. New York wouldn't have to worry about polio for several more years, but like much of the rest of the country, it was dealing with the horrible toll of diphtheria epidemics. News of Baring's miraculous Christmas intervention had spread quickly. Although many of the children who were injected did not survive, breathless newspaper articles focused on one who did, a young girl plucked from the throes of death by the antitoxin Emil von Baring had administered. Accounts of her recovery filled every parent's heart with hope their offspring might be spared that horrible death, a Christmas miracle many would never forget. Dr. Herman Biggs, the chief bacteriologist of the New York City Health Department, was visiting Europe on business and saw firsthand the techniques Rue and Baring had developed to make diphtheria antitoxin. They realized that guinea pigs could not produce enough material for commercial use. Even sheep, the next animal on their list, were apparently unable to satisfy demand, so they settled on the largest animal they could readily obtain, the horse. If the antitoxin wasn't perfect in its ability to save, then perhaps its shortcomings could be supplanted by sheer volume. Biggs was impressed upon seeing the European production facilities and telegraphed back home immediately to begin purchasing horses in order that the children of New York might have a ready supply of this, potentially the first effective treatment ever devised by humans for a horrible disease. Although funds wouldn't be available until the next year, such was his excitement that Biggs paid for the animals himself. As the stables at 57th and 3rd Avenue began to fill with horses and Biggs returned from his trip to Europe, the arduous task of creating antitoxin would begin. The animals were first given a tiny dose of diphtheria in order to trigger what they hoped would be a non-lethal immune response. 8 days later, they would receive another administration of bacteria, this time doubled in volume. If the horses remained healthy, this process would be repeated for 2 to 3 months until they were able to withstand enormous doses. At this point, a cannula was inserted into the horse's jugular vein and several liters of blood were drained off. The blood was chilled on ice where it would separate into two parts. Coagulated dark red blood cells would settle to the bottom, while a clear liquid, referred to as serum, remained on the top. The serum was siphoned off and tested on guinea pigs for its ability to protect them from infection. Varying amounts were employed to gauge the strength of the antitoxin. The serum was then purified, a process whose effectiveness would soon be called into question, then sealed in small glass jars and distributed around the city for general use. By the beginning of 1895, 13 horses filled the stables of the New York College of Veterinary Surgeons, their bodies drained of the antitoxins their immune systems had produced against the invisible poison of diphtheria. Children in New York and beyond would now have an option, however crude, that might save their life as deadly throat infections raged across the city. It wasn't perfect. It had to be administered quickly, within a day or two of noticing the infection, and some children seemed unable to respond to the antitoxin at all. Regardless, it was clear to anyone the antitoxin injection worked better than anything else available. As thousands of children in New York began to receive doses of the formula, deaths from diphtheria infections began to go down. At the same time, a troubling phenomenon began to appear, a violent reaction to the shots that would be impossible for parents and doctors to ignore. The scourge of diphtheria would not so easily be vanquished.